Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello, everyone, and happy August. We're on quarterly break this week, which means I'm probably trying to move my entire office to my garage, but for real this time. It also means in place of our regular podcast, we'll be sharing another episode of Never Been a Better Podcast. Never Been a Better Podcast features a rotating crew of Austin Walker, Jeff Bacalar, Dan Reichert, and Abby Russell, as they join myself and Alex each month over on the Patreon side of things. This episode originally aired in October of 2022 and is a real banger with a full house, everyone. And it's been slightly edited to include ad breaks. If you want to hear more Never Been a Better Podcast, you can head over to patreon.com/nextlander, where you'll find all the episodes and latest and greatest and more. As always, thanks for listening, and we'll be back with the regular Nextlander podcast next week.
And then it went like...
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Never Been a Better Podcast. And I can honestly say this time, the other previous times I was lying, this time I could say, honestly, Never Been a Better Podcast. Abby Russell, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
On the best one, Jeff Bacalar, how are you?
Hey, what's up, Vinny? How are you?
Dan Reichert, how are you?
I have never been better.
Austin Walker, how are you?
This is the best I've ever been.
Oh my gosh, Alex Navarro, how are you?
Yeah, can't complain.
we got through that whole intro and nobody talked over anybody. Congratulations, everybody.
That is the last time we'll have the rest of this podcast.
Yeah, buckle up. We're doing it right now.
So everybody who's listening for the first time, hopefully you have memorized everyone's voice.
Yes.
And know what everyone sounds like.
I know
like.
Mine will be hard to remember.
You and I have a very similar register. Mm-hmm. People get us confused all the time. How's everybody doing all at the same time? Jeff Bacalar, how are you doing?
I'm doing mostly okay.
Great. Okay.
Enthusiastic.
What's your problem? What's going
this
on?
Like the what's up? Your therapy.
We're all positive.
What's going on?
We got energy. What's your problem?
Everybody, back the fuck things off for a second, okay?
Okay. So we are.
It's nice to see you, Jeff. We haven't seen each other in
six, seven months.
A year? I don't. When, your birthday. It's saw you on your birthday.
Yeah, it's been like 6 months or so.
Yeah.
We've all come together, Jeff, for this podcast to talk
to you. This is an intervention. Yes. You need to stop having birthdays.
Yeah, I got it.
No
look,
more
it's a
birthdays.
Yearly habit. I'm sorry. I'm okay. I got there's stuff going on. You know, look, who doesn't have shit going on, right? Everyone's got problems, right? Come on.
Well, I know I wanted to start with you because I feel like you're a big Halloween person and Halloween's coming up.
Well, I married into it, but yeah. I mean,
you were born that way.
Yeah,
I was.
Did you
but
convert
then,
to Halloween for like the marriage? Is one of those things where you had to?
Yes,
do, like, do all I the training, the classes.
You know, we have like religious. I have a semi-religious aunt and uncle, and like they genuinely think that like our religion is Halloween now. So like they don't send like a Rosh Hashanah card. They send like a Happy Halloween card because this is your religion. Your
That's
religion,
cute.
And this is what you observe. It's pretty awesome.
But with your people, it's great because you get 7 days of trick or treating. So it's like
exactly.
Way better than the regular one.
It's pretty sick, and there's always room left in the bucket for more candy. It's a miracle.
Yeah.
It's a miracle. The candy corn. It was only supposed to last 8 nights, but really, yeah. It lasted about 54. Because who the fuck likes candy corn?
Nobody I do. Actually it's not that bad. But here we are, mid-January, still eating candy corn.
It's terrible. It's the worst.
It doesn't deserve that. I think it's become trendy to shit on candy corn. It's not great.
It's perfectly
it's among
acceptable.
The last that you eat. It's better. It's better than a Three Musketeers or a Milky Way.
Okay, oh, you're just wrong.
No, I was with you in that. I was super not with you.
It's better. It is.
No,
absolutely.
What is this anti-nougat agenda?
I love nougat. I will throw away Milky Way or Three Musketeers. That's not nougat. Nougat is like Snickers.
You love Nougat, but you hate a Three Musketeers?
I might be wrong about what Nougat is. Hang on. So
Snickers is Nougat.
I think of it crunchy, like peanuts. Like Nougat.
That's
is
not
that
Nougat.
Not,
that's not Nougat.
What's Nougat?
It's like a soft, like cream almost.
Is it like the foam
filling
inside?
Of
like
Three Musketeers is the Nougat. The filling of the Three Musketeers.
It's just shitty air filled with calories. That's all Three Musketeers.
What are we comparing this to that he said it's better than what?
Candy corn is better than Milky Way.
I do like candy corn. I'm Team Dan.
Thank you.
I'm fine with that. But then at that point, it's like, well, like then you may as well just say like, okay, chocolate generally is not my thing.
I'll have like a piece of chocolate and put it down. I'm satisfied. What is happening on Vinny's screen right now?
Vinny's doing GIF jokes on this audio podcast.
Vinny is excited to do the way to go.
No one's acknowledging that Vinny's drinking a glass of wine. I don't know. There's something so fun about seeing Vinny sipping on a red wine.
It's a very sophisticated podcast.
Are we sure it's not blood?
No, spooky.
Very spooky.
Vinny has spent the last 4 hours. The last 4 hours trying to beat the same Star Trek space battle, and he finally did it. So he deserves that glass of wine.
We did a stream, and like I didn't. You guys probably all know exactly what this is. We did a stream, and we were up to the end of it, and we couldn't beat it on the stream. And it was like the last thing to do, and we were an hour over on time already, and we just couldn't finish it. And it would be the last thing, and the game would be over. And it's just leaves you hollow inside, like candy. Yeah.
Is that better or worse than when you're like trying? I don't know if you've done this as a reviewer, because I know you didn't review that many things. But for me, as a reviewer. That thing of like it's 1 a.m. and you're pretty sure you have 45 minutes left in the game, but really you have 3 hours left in the game.
Luigi's dream team was the worst because I had to go on a fucking trip and I was like, oh, I'll go into the office. Because remember, it was like bolted to the desk with Nintendo at Game Informer. Right. And so I go there and it's like, there's got to be like 3 hours left in this fucking game. They're all like 20 hours long. No, that's the one that's like 70 hours long. And I basically had to just sit there chained over a desk in Minnesota for like 20 straight hours playing this fucking game.
Dream job. I love it.
Back to the chocolate thing. Hey,
Snickers has nougat. It's but it's Snickers the stuff rules. That's underneath the caramel and
that's the
nuts.
Thing. There's more going on with Snickers. That's the deal.
Oh yeah,
I like chocolate.
I'm not, no one's
I prefer fruity candy, Skittles, and Starburst are better. But Butterfinger, Snickers, Reese's, all that stuff is great. You just need to have more stuff going on. Snickers has chocolate, and apparently it's got some nougat, but it's got the caramel. It's got the peanuts. It's got
texture to it. But you're saying the Milky Way, which has caramel, not enough for you. You need something more than the caramel.
There's no texture. There's no... I see Vinny is raising his hand on the call.
Vinny in the back, what do you have to say?
Thank you. So by that metric, would you say Three Musketeers... lower than a Baby Ruth?
Like, Baby Ruth is awesome.
They've got the most going on. Yeah, Baby Ruth went over.
Baby Ruth is great. Peanuts Ahoy. It's great.
Yeah, I do love a Payday.
Okay. Yes, Abby, I feel like you, I've talked to you about Halloween. You're a Halloween fan.
Sure.
You like the dress up stuff. You like, you've done it before. Are you doing anything this year?
I will probably go to a Halloween party. I'm still young. I don't know if you guys remember this.
You gotta be like 40 now.
I'll be 30 next year. Can you believe it?
Holy shit.
Oh my gosh.
I think you could have predicted it to the day, actually.
Anyway, I enjoy Halloween, but I am at the age that I don't want to be uncomfortable all night. So if I dress up, it must be comfortable. And that's sort
you have
of
an idea.
No, not at all. It depends on a lot of things. I'm kind of also content of like, I'll watch some spooky movies with some friends. That sounds pretty cool too.
Yeah.
I remember the first year I was like done with dressing up, but like still had to go to a costume thing. And I was like, I'm going to do this the easiest way possible. And so I went to a Halloween store and got some of those like fake spiders in the webs and I got some fake blood and I covered a regular outfit with the fake spiders and put the blood on me. And I said, I'm a guy being eaten alive by spiders.
That's great.
That's pretty easy. Good.
Done. Yeah, that's that. Like last year I just got like devil horn, like hair, like a hair clip. And then the cops are coming after me. Sorry. And then also like the, what's it called? The pitchfork. Yeah. Trident pitchfork. This is the same thing.
I think Neptune Poseidon has a trident. Is a trident. Poseidon.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a water-based pitchfork.
Yeah.
Anyway, and that was pretty easy. That could just be a normal clothes, but still be the devil, quote unquote.
Yeah. That's kind of
and you know, some people online would say, I don't even need the horns for that, you know?
Boom. Oh, wow. Good commentary here on Never Been a Better Podcast.
Wow.
Alex, when was the last time you dressed up and what was it? Do you remember?
I mean, do you mean other than the times when I just grabbed a lucha mask and nothing else and said, that's like a costume?
And nothing else?
That was last year. Nothing else is a good night. Yeah, that's
yeah, let's just say I did a lot of running around that night. yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think. Like, I can't remember even doing a costume probably since my early 20s.
Okay.
And
okay.
Even then, it probably wasn't anything that elaborate. Like, I really gave up on costuming Halloween, like, probably by my teenage years.
Do people have favorite ever costumes?
Ooh.
Because I have, like, the best I ever had, but I also have, like, my favorite. My favorite is, like, my mom made me a Wolverine costume when I was 10 or whatever.
Oh, that's
sick. Yeah. And it was, like, you know.
What were the claws? Were the claws,
the
like,
claws are aluminum
or?
Foil, right?
Of course. Okay.
On cardboard? Or?
Yeah, just, yeah, okay. Exactly.
Just
but, like,
the foil was holding them up by themselves? Like,
no,
that
no, there was, like, a cardboard or a popsicle stick or a, you know. Okay, yeah. But she put a lot of work into it. Like, she, like, really, it was, like, the yellow and blue, like, cartoon version, that era of Wolverine. But
you couldn't buy, they didn't have all-in-ones back then. I feel like, you couldn't just go to, like, the spirit store and buy, you know, like, Spooky Hunter and just be a Ghostbuster, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, it was, you had to fucking DIY it. You know,
mine was the Ghostbuster. That's probably my favorite one. Where like we built the proton pack with the family.
Wow.
And
oh yeah,
whole thing and like
Sheets Finder is what they call it in the non-licensed.
Can I say something that will make people probably pretty mad?
Okay. Yeah, let's
you
do it.
You hate Ghostbusters.
I just watched Ghostbusters and I think it stinks. What's the appeal? Not funny at all. Not funny for a fucking second. Not a single damn joke.
Right.
It
yeah,
made me dislike Bill Murray. Like, I had to like watch. I had to watch Groundhog Day as a palate cleanser.
Like Ghostbusters,
it does not age well. Like, I understand nostalgia for some 80s movies, whatever. But this one doesn't even. It's not good. It's not funny.
We should watch the sequel.
I don't. Comedies in general don't, like, even good ones don't age that great.
I think Caddyshack is still very funny.
Caddyshack's pretty funny. Lebowski's funny. Like, there's some exceptions.
Lebowski's not only 20 years old.
That's pretty old.
That's pretty old.
It is 20 years old. That's the 90s.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, you're allowed to not like Ghostbusters. That's
of course.
I think
I maybe take slight umbrage with the it stinks part of it, but yeah, I can totally understand
not
liking
funny.
It.
Well, here's
it's
the thing:
funny.
When I saw Ghostbusters for the first time, I didn't think it was funny either.
You think and it was then cool? What? You like hit your head really hard? Like what changed?
No, God, scary because you were a child.
Yeah, the first time I saw it, I was probably like 7 or 8. Which is probably too young anyway to get all those jokes are not kids.
I saw
they're
when
not,
I was five.
Do you know that
a ghost
adult,
blowjob?
Jeff?
There's a ghost blowjob.
The ghost blowjob was the only thing I kind of liked, but it made no sense.
Well, it's not supposed to. It's not supposed to.
I enjoyed that. I heard about it and I was like, you know what? This is exactly how people described it. It's a ghost blowy. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm having fun.
That's how I felt the first time I got a real blowjob. You know what?
Yeah,
this is exactly how people describe it.
Yeah. Okay.
That's awesome.
I'm trying to think of what would be, if I had to say what's the funniest part on the of Ghostbusters. I'm trying to think.
Single joke. I can't even think of one.
Vinny, I feel it's the
but I like Ghostbusters.
Yeah,
so I'm trying to think of
yes,
like,
we're aware.
Oh, thank you very much.
I think like for me, and I would assume I'm speaking for you too. It's not one moment. It's like all the little jabs and all the little things that they say to each other because they all are fucking with each other.
I think you were onto something when you said you didn't find it funny back then because like when we saw it as kids. I didn't necessarily see it as a comedy. I saw it as cool. It's like these guys are running around catching ghosts.
Yeah, I saw it as like a scary action movie.
Yeah, exactly. Action and just kind of this cool concept, basically. And great for toys because like the cartoon was a lot of fun back then and everything. It wasn't necessarily a jokey movie to me.
Yeah. I mean, I always thought it was funny when I was a kid. I think the part in the library at the beginning, all that stuff is genuinely like if I had to pick a funniest part of that movie, it would probably be that whole section. But
nobody stacks books like that. Yeah. No human would stack
no
books
human,
like that.
But yeah,
that's,
totally.
That's pretty funny.
And where do these stairs go? Like,
the whole build up to that. Yeah. But the thing is, and I think a lot of Ghostbusters nostalgia is rooted in people seeing it one too young and at a very specific time.
Sure.
Like, I saw that movie again when I was probably like 5 or 6 years old, and that was in the exact window right before the real Ghostbusters cartoon came out, so that they were able to basically just shoot a spear through my brain and make sure that I was hooked on Ghostbusters from that age going forward.
It was the same with Turtles for me, I think, because I think I saw the first movie around the same time that cartoon was going on, And so it's just like, all right, turtles is just everywhere.
Teenage
this is
Mutant
the thing.
Ninja Turtle. Okay. Man, not just turtles.
I thought you just were talking about just turtles. I was like, okay, Dan, fun.
There's a big Gamera
I didn't
fan.
Like him at first, but they grew on me.
That turtle documentary came out at the time.
But the cartoon stuff, I think, changes your relationship to that stuff. You're definitely. A kid, and you're like, these are my friends. These are my favorite characters. These are the things I love. Like, so of course you're just going to go into it looking for an adventure and not for, like, comedy.
Abby, you just got to watch it, like, 48, 49 more times, and you'll be all right.
That'll do it.
My thing is, I understand being like, I liked it as a kid, so I like it now. But I feel like a lot of people say it's the best comedy ever made, period, as an adult. Holds up. A lot of people feel that way.
I got to back her a little bit here because, like, I loved it so much as a kid, and especially, like, the toys and the cartoon and everything, and I had not seen the movie in forever. And I think we just put it in randomly a few years ago, and I think Bonk either hadn't seen it or it had been forever, but, like, both of us just kind of watched it, and it was like, man, okay, yeah, that used to be really popular. We weren't laughing or anything like that. Like, I'm kind of with you. I get it.
I understand it. Again, the way I always preface it to other people is it's my favorite comedy. It's not that I think it's the best comedy.
It's a comfort comedy, yes. Right? It's like, it's like, you know, like when you have foods growing up and you're like, you go and you try to share it with somebody and you're like, this is just macaroni with some salt on it, and be like, it's so good though. It makes you feel so good, and be like, don't you love it? And it's like, that's soup with, you put pasta in soup. And I'd be like, but, you know, my mom used to make it on rainy days.
My mom, she used to pour Pepsi in milk. It was delicious.
I don't begrudge anyone for liking it. I just begrudge people who go around and shame people for not seeing it or not liking it or being like, this is the greatest movie ever made, when it's like, it fucking isn't. It's not.
The cinema.
The thing I built up so much to Bianca and did not deliver at all on the scary front here was Event Horizon. I had not seen that in a very long time. And I was telling her beforehand, I hadn't seen it since I was like a teenager. And I was like, okay, now Bonk, this is like, I'm not a scary movie guy. I'm not a horror movie guy, but this like fucked me up for years. Like, I was having nightmares. I was scared. I didn't even want to see Sam Neill and other stuff because it freaked me out. And the Latin, like, you know, I just kind of grew up in a Catholic school.
Wait,
and there's all like crazy devil Latin and stuff. What's that?
Were you not on the film in 40s for Event Horizon?
I was.
You were? Okay.
Was I?
Yeah.
I don't remember this.
I think
remember
you were.
Remember Karate Tutamax, Ephorus, and people tearing eyes out, and ship goes to hell, the Jurassic Park guy claws his face up.
The engine looks like a spiky hellscape, and they're like, nobody has a problem with that of the drive, and be like, this
must
is
been
like
really drunk for this one.
Yeah, that might have been one of the tall boys.
So we went.
I'm sorry,
really
Mike Mahardy was on that one.
Oh,
Abby replaced. Was not on it.
Brutal. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, but sorry.
I acted like it was going to be, it was like this evil movie. Like, this is just, this is a bad thing we're about to watch here. And then we watch it, and it's just like the most 1997 CG. And even like, I kept building up that one thing of the tape that happened to the original crew that's like fucking 40 seconds long as like the most horrifying thing ever put to film. And watching it now, it's just like, it ended and she was like, that was the fucking thing that haunted you for years? Like, that dumbass scene? I was like, yeah.
I watched it for the first time-ish when we did that film in 40s, and it's creepy.
It has some fucked up parts in it, but it is not.
The CG doesn't help. Like,
no.
That's rough. Yeah.
No, but Sam Neill's good in it. Like, he's
Yeah, Larry Fishburne's good in it. Like, everyone's kind of good in it. It's just that it's a very goofy thing. Yes. Like the
it's
director,
more cartoonish than I remember.
It's a little campy in parts, even. Like, it's a little dialed 11 in a fun
like
way.
Camp which, Hellraiser, absolutely.
But I didn't know what camp was when that movie first came out in theaters and I saw it for some stupid reason.
This is Present Day Vinny again. We'll be back with more Never Been a Better Podcast after this quick break. This week's show is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Alex and Brad, we've got some options here on how they would like us to start this ad, a couple of privacy metaphors.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is labeled train.
Okay.
Train. Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like taking a call on a train or bus on speaker for everyone to hear. Do you really want the whole train to know about your medical test results? Brad, do you remember when we used to take the bus to Sausalito? Mm-hmm. Do you remember the bus driver that one time when we were talking and then we got off and the bus driver's like, everyone can hear what you're talking about.
Wow.
What if we had just been typing to each other using ExpressVPN? They'd never know.
Then all two other people on that bus would have been none the wiser.
They would not know how much we like Dead Rising. I guess that secret would have never left. I've been using ExpressVPN for years. I use it when I travel, when I get on any public networks. When I use it to do things that necessarily don't need to be made public. You know when you want to use a VPN. I don't need to tell you. It's good to have it in your tool belt. I think the speeds are, again, I've used it for a while. Speeds seem pretty good. It's very easy to use. You can install it on your computer, on your phone. I have it on both. I have it on iPads. Push a little button. Connects to one of their nearest nodes. You can have it just smart search for what's nearest to you. Or you can manually go and say, well, maybe I'm in California today. Or maybe I'm in Brazil. It's up to you wherever you want to put yourself in the world wide web. You can get ExpressVPN and protect your online privacy today by visiting expressvpn.com/nextlander. That's expressvpn.com/nextlander, and you can get an extra 3 months free. expressvpn.com/nextlander. Thanks, ExpressVPN. Austin, is there a movie, like, I'll go around here, I'll start with you. Is there a movie that today, if we're like, oh, we're going to watch that, you'd be like, oh man, that one freaks me out. I don't know if I want to watch that movie, like late at night kind of movie. So everybody think about it. Yeah.
The one that I haven't seen that is like, but it fucked me up for years was one of those it wasn't Tales from the Crypt, but it was another one of those style.
Like Creep Show?
Bordello of Blood?
I think it was Creep Show. There was I think it's Creepshow 2, the one with the hitchhiker, which it's almost like I Know What You Did Last Summer type thing, where like someone hits a driver late at night, crashes into a hitchhiker, and then drives away, like a hit and run. And then he like keeps showing up over and over again, and he's like, his skin has been flayed off, and he's like chasing her down. And I watched it alone in like my grandmother's creepy fucking house when I was eight or whatever, and had that exact sort of dream that was like, he's here for real. And it was like a super realistic dream, except this monster guy from the thing I just watched was there, and I can still just like conjure him into my brain. And so that one, I bet it's fine. I bet it'd be even interesting, but I still have the lizard brain part of my brain being like, no, don't ever, you can never touch
that's
that.
A very scary movie.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly. Right, he would always fucking Dan.
Dan's doing Dan's going to the bathroom. The bathroom.
Oh, I see. Yeah. The hitchhiker guy would always be like, "How you doing, lady? Thanks for the ride. Thanks for the ride, lady."
Oh,
yeah. It was very, very creepy. Not a fan.
That's upsetting.
Yeah,
Alex, do you have a?
I mean,
you're a horror guy.
Yeah,
yeah, but it's not like there isn't stuff that like doesn't it never got to me at any point. You know, like,
I almost don't want to hear what scares you.
Well, so here's the thing. I'm excluding the stuff that legitimately I just don't ever want to watch again. Like stuff that like,
no,
you know,
that's
just
stuff I want to hear.
Like high tension, like truly fucked up.
Like I'm thinking like Martyrs on that level of like, I saw that once, okay, that I'm good.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't want to know what that is.
Just because it's scary, but because they go so hard into the visualizing the incredibly fucked up stuff that's happening to people in that movie. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's kind of like the stuff I'm like, yep, that once was enough. But I feel like the one I have from when I was younger, and it was definitely one I saw too early, that I still occasionally, like, if I'm going to watch it, it is very much a deep breathing and setting myself down to watch it, as opposed to, let's just throw this on, is Hellraiser. It's the original Hellraiser.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
That is a gooey, fucked up.
I still haven't seen it.
Just same. Mean movie in a lot of ways, but it is also kind of amazing, and that is why I will go back and watch it again and again. But I have to steel myself.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
How about we all drink and watch it together?
Yeah.
Record a podcast. What do you think?
That's not a good drinking or putting anything in your body kind of movie.
Dude, I chose The Exorcist one year.
Yeah, so, I really want to watch watch that. I don't know if you remember. I was like, I don't want to watch that.
That's really?
Like, it freaked me out too much. Yeah.
Like, it's a spooky one. There was one where we sat in silence, just watched the movie for a lot of it.
Yeah. It's a good, it was good that we didn't make good on that idea to order a bunch of split pea soup right before.
That was typically our go-to before we drank a bunch of 40s and watched the movie. So.
A bunch of 40s and split pea soup, and the office smelled really good.
Very salty.
Yeah. Backlar.
I don't think I have one of those.
Nothing scares you?
No, things scare me, absolutely. I just talked about how I didn't even want to know what scared you because I was worried that I would somehow, like, you know, force myself to Google it and then find out what it's about and then be traumatized just by the description of it. Right? Like, I'll do that. Like, I will come across things that I only hear about in words. And that is, like, here. Sometimes reading the description of a thing as it's portrayed is scarier than actually seeing the thing, which is upsetting. So, but back to the original question, I feel like there's definitely movies that I almost say, like, hey, I don't want to watch it just because of the emotional state it brings me to, specifically like Children of Men, which I love. I think that movie's phenomenal, but like it is so heavy and
it's exhausting,
so quickly becoming our reality that I just can't watch that movie because it's just too well done. It's too real.
Except for Julianne Moore.
Yeah, who's just like inexplicably happy in that film.
I was just going to say, just not very believable in that movie, but everything else.
She was great.
She has a very strange. I hear where you're coming from. I think that's a valid criticism, but I don't think it breaks anything in the movie for me.
Julianne Moore is either the greatest actress in anything she's in or somehow the worst actress. There is no middle ground in Julianne Moore's career.
If you've never seen it, it's a truly fucked up movie that I think I've only seen like twice.
It's phenomenal.
I've seen it twice. It's been a long time.
It's just too much. Like even the first 90 seconds, you're just like, okay, well.
I rewatched it more recently and I was kind of shocked at how well it still holds up. Like it's also upsetting because it does feel like, well, yeah, this is still relevant. This metaphor is not really that much of a metaphor anymore.
That movie's also a testament to like incredibly well done like art direction and the subtlety of like FX work, right?
Yeah.
Where, like there's just so much really under the hood in the background, right? Sort of stuff that's going on graphically, which I should watch it. I saw it in the theater
and haven't seen it since.
It's tremendous.
Well, good news. We have a podcast where we possibly watch it. So can't wait to have that
depressing
conversation.
Depressing as hell.
Yeah. Dan?
I've never been a huge horror guy, at least in movies. Like in games, I like it because I like the feeling of like, oh, now I have to deal with this fucking zombie that jumped out of the closet. But like with movies, I don't really get scared and I don't seek that out really. Like, I don't know. Like, I totally understand how people like Children of Men. It's like, oh, this is, you know, too close to the real world. Or like when people were like, I don't want to play The Last of Us 2 during a pandemic because it's too, you know, but like, I don't think I have that at all. I always just see it as a piece of entertainment or a piece of fiction. So like documentaries, if it's like a grisly, dark documentary, that's the type of thing where it's like, oh,
so, like,
fuck,
beyond
that's
the
real. Beyond the mat, yeah. No, the only times I can think of where a movie really made me feel bad were like darker documentaries, you know? Like, and I've just never been a huge horror guy as far as movies.
I'm fairly similar in that, like, when I actually think, I found in my mind, the horror movie that actually fucks me up is like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, where it's like, yes, there is like some weird underlying lore, and the family, especially in the sequels, the family gets increasingly cartoonish. But the fundamental thing of like, oh yeah, my car broke down and then some weirdos killed all my friends and me. Yeah, okay, that actually does scare me. Like, I do not want to be driving through, you know, abandoned parts of West Texas and like that. Resident Evil 7, which is the one that was like very Texas Chainsaw. I was like, I played the beginning of that in VR and will never do that again because it was too on the nose.
I think that's why when I was like younger, something that actually really scared me from a movie was Scream. We rented it and we watched that first scene and it's like, yeah, I knew it was a movie, but it was like, it's suburban home invasion murder situation. And it was just like, I think as a kid, I was like, I don't want to watch the rest of this movie. You know,
there's something that goes off in my brain where I have this sort of like heightened sensitivity to. It's when it's just like so needlessly senseless. right? Like, I think there's something about that that just drives me absolutely bonkers, which is why when it's supernatural, it's like, fuck, have at it. Like, oh, you got a book that's got vampires in it? Awesome. Tell me more about it. What happens when we open it? Let's do that. But when it's just like needless body horror, like just for the enjoyment of like a maniac, it's like, yes. Oh boy.
Yeah, okay. Like Hostel and Saw. I saw those in the theaters when they were getting a bunch of buzz, just the first ones of both of those. And I was like, this just sucks. It's just like cheap, you know, gore stuff, you know? Like,
I think the first Saw is pretty good.
It's just what came after that it really kind of fell apart.
The first one, I hate
see,
it.
But like... And if you follow me here, that to me drifts into like the supernatural, where I'm just like, okay, what an elaborate fun house.
Oh, so it's okay
horror.
When a ghost does it.
No, I'm just saying, like, it's just like, it's okay. I'm okay with Saw. Like, Saw doesn't bother me, where, like, you know, Texas
Chainsaw
Massacre.
Some of my best friends are Saw.
Yeah, some of my best friends are Jigsaw killers, you know?
Abby, do you have one?
Like a movie that like really scares me, like horror.
Yeah,
movie?
Like one that you're like, I don't want to.
You have to like steal yourself.
Let's change the channel. I don't want to watch.
I don't think there's no. I think for horror movies, not really. I think that I also have similar. Like this is a really well done drama that I don't ever want to see again because it made me anxious. Or like I saw this movie called The Tribe. It was like entirely in sign language with no captions. It was fascinating, but it was like so grim that I was like, excellent movie, never again. I will say. When I rewatched, it was like I hadn't seen Pee-wee's Big Adventure. So, like I was like a small child when I saw it. And then like, I don't know, maybe like a late teen when I watched it again. And I got to the point, I was like watching it in bed. And I got to the point where it was like the Large Marge scene. And I got so scared I had to turn it off and wait until the morning. Anyway, and then I got through it. It was
about
fine.
That for...
It was, as a child, that was so scary. Yeah. Yes. So it was like, I had that body reaction of like, I can't do this right now.
I don't care how old you are. That is not a bedtime movie.
No. Movie.
With those clown nurses, like, dancing over to the broken bicycle, dude.
The dreams never scared me. It was always just Large Marge.
Yeah.
Tell me if this sounds familiar to anyone. I have vivid memories of staying over at a friend's place when I was like 6 years old, and it was just one of those late night, like, let's just stay up and see what's on TV, and there was some horror movie on, and I'm sure it's incredibly campy and shitty, but like, I've Googled this, I've asked people about it, and no one knows what the fuck I'm talking about. And the only thing, there's a lot of like really gruesome kills and practical effects in it, and I probably would have watched this in like 1991, 1992. I don't know if that's what it came out.
I feel like Alex is your best bet here, so here we go.
I'll do what I can.
The one scene I specifically remember, I think a lot of it was set around a high school, was that they were on the high school football field at night, and there's this killer that throws a football, like a spiral, and it shows the football going through the air, and it turns into like, you know, like when like Mega Man gets like a drill shot, like one of those type of drills, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, like
a cone-shaped drill kind of?
Yeah, like a cone-shaped drill with a, you know, and the football kind of turns into that, and like somebody's running away. I can't remember if it was a cheerleader or a football player, and it like drills through them, and like, you know, their guts come out and all this stuff. And I just remember being freaked the fuck out. I was like, we got to turn this off right now.
That almost sounds like a Phantasm sequel, but like, I don't think that's what it is.
Or a Nightmare on Elm Street?
I don't think I've seen anything. I would have remembered Freddy Krueger, because I remember seeing like the Simpsons parodies and stuff. I
did
knew
they
who
show
he was.
The killer at all?
I don't remember. I don't think it was like a monster. It might have been something where like somebody got possessed or something. I can't remember.
Football turns into a drill.
Yeah, this is in the air.
Wait, can I do one too? Because now I need to know. Can you do it for me?
Ooh, I want to do one too. Okay, I'll be next.
Okay.
Wow.
I'll never forget this. This is like 17 or 18 years ago. Right, almost to the day, I was...
Sounds like a scary story.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Gather around, my freaks.
Oh, God, my lights are flickering.
I was alone. I was playing football.
No, because it was... Halloween season was fast approaching. I was on a tour with a band, and we had... this was like after the show... And there was like Halloween.
I found
movies
it, by the way,
played.
But go on.
What is it?
Wait, I want you to finish your story, then I'll reveal.
I remember we were like in like a dressing room and we were watching a show, but there was like a lot of people there, but there was a movie being played on a TV, and it was like a very gory, campy horror thing.
Okay.
And there was a woman like stapled to the ceiling. Okay. Now, again, the description is worse than the visual because it was so dumb. You'd look, you're like, oh my God, what am I looking at? It's campy as fuck, right? But like someone, so she was stapled to, she was glued to the ceiling. Let's use the word glued. She was glued to the ceiling. Okay.
Scary movie.
And then somebody on the floor above her had a drill and was drilling through the floor. Ew. It was like going through her stomach.
Ew.
And they were just showing it.
I feel like I've seen this one. I can't place it.
It kind of sounds familiar to me, honestly.
And it was like, I don't know. It was one of those screws where it's like a tube. It was like a two-handed.
Oh, you crank
like,
it?
Like a
cranker screw.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, sure.
And drill. She was just like, ow, this is painful, kind of thing.
Great acting.
I wish I wasn't stapled to the ceiling.
Okay. Please. So I don't know if I can help you with that one. I did find Dan's, though.
What is that?
Good for you, dude.
Dance.
I don't know how the hell you found... I mean, you said it was on late-night television. I could definitely see this. Prom Night 3, The Last Kiss.
Nice.
That's so specific. Wow. How'd you find that?
You did some Googling.
You're
there,
a wizard.
Yeah. I literally typed in the words football turns into drill horror movie, and I found it in 5 seconds.
Came out in 1989. That would have made perfect sense. Yeah,
also, it's
okay.
Canadian, which makes it funnier.
Yes,
Google
way funnier.
Oh, woman stapled to picture. Ceiling hand drill and see what you get. Yeah.
Google drilling woman on ceiling.
See, I never brought myself to Google this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this was the safest way to search.
Yeah,
with you five right here.
I'm trying. So, I'm doing my best. This one is proving a little bit more troubling.
Yeah, it's just because it's so. I don't know what's wrong, Dan. It?
I'm seeing the image of the guy with the drill football through him, and it's pinning him to the uprights. This is totally fucking it. I've been trying to find this forever.
All right, are you broken again now? Like, is this?
No, I feel like this demon has been lifted from me. This is great.
Good. I'm glad you exercise your demons. I need to mine.
Jeff has a little.
That's totally it.
It's all right. Can I say mine as we Google?
Yeah. Well, okay. Alex Lux, Abby.
We'll see if this is maybe a famous one. I don't know, but I feel like it was a similar. I saw it on TV. Anyway, it was like a group of people were dying in a bunch of different ways, and I feel like maybe there were a bunch of killers. Maybe there was just one, and he chose to kill in a bunch of different ways. But one way he killed someone was he had playing cards, or maybe they were tarot cards, and he like threw them, and they like got stuck in their head and all their body parts, and they died via like cards getting thrown into them.
X-Men?
Oh, man.
Yeah, okay. Is that Gambit?
It was a horror movie.
That's the only the card throwing I know.
All of these, I just want to keep saying like Nightmare on Elm Street, because I feel like those deaths are always so silly and
they're
and
very
dumb.
Goofy.
So death by a million cards into a person.
Yeah, it's like through the cards. I remember it was like daytime. I feel like they were on like a bridge too.
You can break someone's skin with
well,
like
this person, they were like
thrower,
embedded.
Right?
They were like, they died.
Yeah.
It's a rough way.
Alex, you have skull. That one? Alex, yeah. Alex.
We're still trying to find this drill one. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let me see. I'm looking up yours now, Abby.
Okay, great.
It had the fidelity of like, this is going to sound insane. Like the fidelity of just like a 16 millimeter French film. You know what I mean? Like it looked real soft and it was just very pastel-y.
Do you think it was like a dream you had?
No. Wait, was this real? No, it wasn't real.
Millimeter.
It wasn't real.
What was the person like really reacting horribly, or were they really
going back 20 years here, dude?
Okay.
She was acting poorly, but was like, oh my gosh, why is this happening kind of thing?
Why am I glued myself to the ceiling and now this happens of all times.
I don't know how she got up there.
How did she get up there?
Because there was like a party going on and I was like occasionally looking over at the screen being like, well, that's not good. And
okay.
Anyway.
Abby.
All right.
Ooh, you got it?
Tarot cards. Killer. Was Hilary Swank in this movie?
Maybe. That sounds about right.
And Michael Gross from Tremors?
I don't know who that is, but I'll say yes.
Okay, the only one I can maybe think it is, this is from 1996, direct-to-video horror movie, Sometimes They Come Back Again. It is based on a Stephen King something.
That probably is that, because we watch a lot of Stephen King movies.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, what's it called again? It's always, wait, what?
A man and his daughter returned to his hometown only to be terrorized by demons who had sacrificed the man's sister in the past.
Yeah, that sounds like Stephen King.
I'm going to search card death.
Card death? Oh, boy.
Images.
Careful what you wish for here.
Uh-huh, yeah.
It seems like that
that's
might
it.
Be
death
it.
By cards. That's
I
it.
I did it.
It's stuck to your head.
Alex is doing it.
The best scene is what this YouTube video says. Death by cards, best scene from Sometimes They Come Back, ..
All right, Bagmar, what was yours again?
You know what it was. I'm just starting to think I saw a real murder.
He's just looking out a window. He thinks it's a TV, but it's actually a window over there. Like, you guys seen this over here?
I mean, obviously, if I saw a still from it, I'd know.
Yeah, there's a lot of drills that kill people in horror is the problem. Yeah. And the stapling people to ceiling thing has not yielded any real results.
But they could have been like levitated up or like magicked up, right? There were no actual staples.
No,
up
Jeff
there?
Seemed pretty convinced it was staples.
Staples?
Okay. Yeah, I don't think I'm not sold on staples. I think that's just how I describe
so
it.
So I'm gonna give you a couple possibilities to at least look up later if you would like. These are the ones that I think it could be, but I can't be certain.
Okay.
The Toolbox Murders from 1978.
Okay.
That is definitely a 16mm looking ass movie.
The Toolbox Murders, got it.
I would also say it could possibly be Slumber Party Massacre 2.
That feels right.
That is from 87.
Man, Alex.
I can't even write these things on paper.
You'll have to let me know if that ends up being right or not.
Did any of you ever see Maximum Overdrive?
Yes.
Familiar? I watched that like a year ago on Twitch. Yeah.
It's the one where all the cars and machines come to life for some alien force and start murdering people.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the first half is pretty solid and then it just completely falls off.
That's when I was a kid, that freaked me out. I couldn't watch that as a kid. It, like, there's a soda machine that like comes alive and shoots soda cans out and one
delicious.
Gets embedded.
That sounds awesome.
One goes somehow, if you think about it now, it's not really plausible, but somehow one goes into the coach's skull, right? Like right in his
That's a real Stephen King one too. That's Stephen King.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's a. I mean, listen. You put a garbage disposal in a horror movie, something bad is going to happen. But yeah, that's bad.
I was plagued by one of these things that you guys are describing for the longest time. Like one of those scenes that like I saw as a kid, like in passing, changing the channels at late at night when I should not have been. And I could never find what the movie was for years and years and years afterward. And the thing I did that would have solidified it for me is if I could have remembered what actress it was I was seeing. It was Jennifer Connelly is what I eventually found out. But the scene was her crawling around in some sort of dark room. And there's like a pit of very unpleasant, like oatmeal water,
phenomena?
You know, that is supposed to be something really disgusting. And at some point she falls into it and she is like drowning in this really unpleasant looking liquid. And I was trying to figure out what the fuck was this movie. I could not pinpoint it. And then finally, somehow in the last year, I accidentally came across the scene again online and figured out the movie is Dario Argento's Phenomena.
Yeah, Phenomena. Yeah.
The movie about Jennifer Connelly being able to psychically commune with bugs.
Which rules and is the basis for the video game series Clock Tower.
Oh, the scissors guy?
Oh, yeah,
God, that makes no sense.
Phenomena.
Saturn?
I literally just told a friend this last week, so this is like fresh on my mind. Yeah, yeah.
Huh.
Uh-huh. Y'all should watch Phenomena. That movie's fucking wild.
Is it good?
No, it's pretty
fucked
up.
Great.
Like, oh, okay.
It's enjoyable in that
it's 80s enjoyable. If you haven't
Italian
seen,
horror way.
Yeah, exactly. If you haven't gone down the Italian horror 1970s, 80s rabbit
giallo
hole.
And also
giallo
just like
stuff.
Straight up slasher stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. The vibes are just psychedelic and creepy in a different way. So,
my thing is I don't like possessions. I don't like.
Is this a Catholic thing, Vinny? Like,
I think it might be.
When you said that you couldn't do the Exorcist earlier, I was like, that's being raised Catholic. Uh-huh. Right?
Yeah. I get uncomfortable every time Abby even says Pazuzu. Like, I don't like you say it too many times, something bad's gonna happen.
Look,
like, it's
Vinny. Did you get freaked out as a kid?
Pazuzu's a listener.
Stop.
Oh my god, I got an email. It's from Pazuzu.
And a smeller.
Nice.
Oh my gosh. Nice.
Vinny, did it freak you out in Temple of Doom when Indy got possessed?
No, that's so dumb.
Maybe I was just really young. But he has to
like
bring
to all those real possessions that are serious.
No, when he's possessed, I mean, that just looks like Harrison Ford like trying to concentrate. Like
but
he just looks
made
very
a short
serious.
Round. He slaps him.
Yeah, he does slap him. That is. What is it? You drink the. You never wake up. You drink the fluid, and you never. Yeah. That whole movie doesn't make sense. So I
no,
think
no, it doesn't.
The worst part of that movie is when they stick their hand in the, like
bug
we are
tunnel?
Gonna die.
Yeah, the bug tunnel
I can't
was never
do
good.
It. I think about that every single time I have to reach behind like a couch or something like that.
Yep.
Like I just imagine India on the other side, like, we are going to die. It's like, yep. I'm sorry, you're dead.
I can't do it. I literally you would do it. See what's in there. If it was just crickets, it would be fine, but it is not just crickets.
It's not. It's like centipedes and things with claws and teeth and
spiders.
It's goopy.
Yeah.
It's bad. What happens when a quarter falls in the couch or something goes under the fridge. It is just that. But like you guys saw Hereditary?
Oh yeah,
that was pretty freaky. Yeah,
that's a creepy one.
Yeah, that one's scary. That one's still scary to watch like on my own.
Someone made the comment online this week, and I firmly agree with it. Is that there's nothing scarier in a movie than when someone is in a room weird, specifically like you know Toni Collette on the ceiling in that room being weird. Yeah. The part where they're standing in that room and then suddenly Gabriel Byrne is on fire. That's weird. That shouldn't happen.
They stopped the fucked up thing early in that movie and spoilers.
Well, don't ruin it.
We just did.
Okay.
Yeah, we just spoiled the whole goddamn thing.
I'll be somewhat vague here. Basically, something horrendous happens early in the movie and there is a grievous injury and it does a hard cut to it and like so you're not prepared for it. Like the music isn't swelling. All of a sudden it's just you see this giant thing on the screen. It's like, oh no. And so the whole rest of the movie you're just waiting. It's like, okay, now I know they'll do that. They will just cut to it with no warning. And the whole time you're uneasy.
That's my favorite thing about The Witch is, you know, sometimes you get, I'm gonna spoil just like conceptually something that happens early on in The Witch. Okay. I'm gonna spoil specifically that happens early on in The Witch. You're like, okay, this is a movie about, for people who don't know, The Witch is a movie about like some Puritan like pilgrim settlers of the like New England area getting exiled and needing to go out into like the deep woods away from their society in New England to kind of live in exile. And early on, you're like, okay, is this going to be one of those movies where there's really a witch, or is the witch like a stand-in for patriarchy because like the dad sucks bad and like the brother clearly fucking sucks? And then like very early on, a witch kills a baby, really? And like, oh shit, there's really a witch. There's
really early on.
They decide to prove that there is a witch.
Just in case you were wondering.
It's still also the other stuff too, but just in case you're wondering.
There's this movie, if you guys have ever seen it, no, I feel like nobody's ever seen it, called Lost Souls with Winona Ryder. Mm. It's from early 2000s.
I have seen this.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm going to spoil it because nobody's ever seen it. And like, it's not a big deal, but this scene freaked me out. It's near the end of the movie. And basically Winona Ryder's there and this guy who's like fighting a possession, like honest to goodness, he's like trying to not be possessed by some horrible demon that I don't even want to think about.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's and at the end of the movie, they've done it. He's got to wait until midnight, and if he waits until midnight, like he is in the clear, and they're sitting in the car, and they've done all the steps, and it's like they're watching the clock go, and like it hits midnight, and like nothing happens, and then like they're like, oh my gosh, we did it, and then he just like looks at her with this like weird smile. And she just says to shoot him. Like that's it. Because it didn't work. And it was so creepy to me that like, oh, you did it. And then he just does this like smirk.
Sure.
That's like, it's super creepy even thinking back to it. I don't even know if she shoots him. In my mind, she shoots him. But like something terrible happens or like the movie ends and you're like, oh my God, it's fucking so creepy. That stuff is the stuff for me that I hate. I can't deal with it.
Even like the very end of Uncut Gems is so disturbing.
That's a movie that seems like it's designed to give you anxiety, and I
was just into it the whole time. I was
Dan,
like, this
because
kicks
you're
ass.
A little freak.
Yeah, that doesn't. I don't think your brain works the right way. Dan.
I was like this kicks sense. Ass. This is awesome.
How did you wake yourself up again?
All my anxiety is about what's that?
How
did you wake yourself up
say
again?
Say it right now. Tell everyone what happened.
Yeah, actually, someone who did that would say.
Yeah.
No, it's like all my anxiety comes from shit that is like not real. It's like, oh, I'm in the middle of an aisle at a thing and I can't get out easy. It's like, that's not danger. Like actual like things that give people real anxiety, like, you know, Uncut Gems all and right. stuff. Like I just like it.
Sure. Okay. That's, you know, amazing.
And like roller coasters, skydiving, like, all that shit, you know?
Remove your brain for a minute. That's amazing.
Those are those movies, like Uncut Gems are those movies you end and you're like, oh, I don't even know what to do with myself for the rest
of
this. I know.
It's like, I'm supposed to go to bed in 4 hours?
No. Every Wikipedia page, is the ending
awful? No, you should watch. No, you
no
watch.
It's just insane.
It seems exhausting.
It's not
depressing.
Like insane.
It's a depressing movie.
I'm so curious what you would think about it. I'm like so deeply curious what your reaction
Okay, well now maybe I'll have to watch it.
It's a good, I think it's a good movie. Yeah.
And I think Adam Sandler is really, really good in it.
But Punch Drunk Love is also a good movie that gave me anxiety and I didn't enjoy watching.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's good for different reasons, but yeah.
Sure.
I think there's like certain, I have like such an easier time enjoying creepy, weird stuff than I do like actual bloody gory.
You like it when it's creepy. It's kooky. It's like altogether rookie.
Yes, exactly. Well put. And also to go back to what you were saying, Dan, like horror with video games, like I'll literally play anything, although Scorn fucking has fucked me up this morning.
Is that the one with all the dicks? That.
It's the dick game.
Is that
it is just like, it is just goopy and like flesh tunnely in a way that I just don't know if I'm gonna make my way through that game.
I'm somehow on the complete opposite side of the coin of that. I can do with all the weird wet dicks you can throw at me in a video game, but like you throw a little tension in there, like even if it's something as cheesy as like early like Resident Evil or Silent Hill
or The Quarry.
I can't do it because, well, actually I found The Quarry and Until Dawn easier to do because they're so campy. But like even like old Resident Evil back in the day, I couldn't do it because it's one thing to know the character on the screen is going to go into the room they should not go in. Yeah. But when you have to make the decision to do it, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. I can't.
It took me
I remember that about you.
3 months to get through the first 10 minutes of Silent Hill as a kid. Because
Silent Hill was a lot rougher to me than Resident Evil. Because like Resident Evil, it gets Silent scary, Hill was but it's cheap. Rougher. It's jump scares, you know?
Yeah.
Silent Hill is just the whole time I feel uneasy, you know?
And the way it plays with sound and like unexpected combinations of sound and industrial noises and stuff. My brain wasn't ready for that. I should have been playing that game.
You know what I thought was really scary? I legit thought Stranger Things season 4 was like the scariest they had ever done. Like I was like, wow, this is kind of fucking fucked up.
Jeff, this is sort of related. I played the Stranger Things pinball machine and I found it very fun.
Oh, it's scary, right?
Yeah, it's
a pretty
really
good one.
Yeah.
It's got the Demogorgon in the middle there.
Yeah,
you gotta,
I got
like
to
shoot a ball
it.
In its
I know,
face.
It's cool. I was like, whoa, things are moving.
Is Winona Ryder anywhere on the key art?
Probably. I don't remember.
I think in
but
the key
think,
art,
yeah, that
she
sounds
is.
About right.
But I don't think I don't think they got her for like actual like, you know, the video voice work.
Whatever the case, as long as she's getting some kind of royalty off that shit, that's
oh,
all.
Oh yeah,
I
and
care
David
about.
Harbour does all the call outs.
Oh great.
He does all the voice work for the game.
Yeah. Does he say multi-ball?
Yeah, he's like I don't know, I forget what the fucking multi-ball is, but it's like telepathy multi-ball.
Yeah, do your best David Harbour impression right now.
Speak like a normal white dude. I don't know.
I guess I should probably watch that. The season 3 I did not enjoy.
I thought it was pretty weak, but 4 was I thought 4 was pretty good. It's cool when you realize like, oh wow, they actually definitely had written this entire thing out from the
get-go. Yeah, it feels
without a doubt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, we made it like halfway through season 2 before we quit because like we liked the
but
gimmick.
This was
season
scary.
One. Well, season 2 is just like, well, the pumpkins are going bad, and it's like, this is boring. Well, like, yeah, so we stopped.
Yeah. 2 is
I
a pretty
think 1
steep
and
drop
4
off
have
one.
Been the best.
Okay. Yeah.
3 is the mall, right?
Yes.
Yes, that's okay, the summer that's vacation one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Are there like scary movies that come out now? When I scroll through Netflix, usually
Vinny.
I just see like
Yeah, dude.
Vinny.
Like,
it's one of the few genres that has survived into the streaming, like direct to streaming era, because you can just make horror movies.
Mm.
Like, it's not that fucking hard.
There was that one at the beginning of the pandemic they did. I think it was called Host, that was all set during a Zoom call, and they were doing like a Zoom seance thing or something.
It's okay,
gimmicky,
that's,
but it was kind of fun. Yeah.
That's the thing. If you do a gimmick well, that can still work. You know, like, I don't have any problem with gimmicky or, you know, like that kind of stuff in horror. It's just that, like, it just has to be done reasonably well.
Do you count Mandy as horror? Because Mandy is fucking awesome.
Mandy,
I feel like it's sort of two genres. Like, I feel like the first half, I wouldn't even say it's horror. It's almost just like a trippy, like, experience. Mm. And then back half is like campy action.
Campy action, yeah.
It's like,
it's like Grindhouse-y.
Yeah, it's like Grindhouse action with horror in it, for sure. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's more just like straight psychedelia. Like the guy's other movie is like the way slower, way less bloody version of that movie. So he just makes really slow pink movies where people die horribly.
Do you see Color Out of Space?
Yes.
That's kind of fun.
That's not the word I would use for it, but it's a good movie. It's a good time. What happens to Jolie Richardson is like the least fun thing you could ever imagine in that movie.
I think something might be wired weird because I was like, oh, that's fun. Like, just, now I'm remembering what happened in it.
The mom is fused with her child in a horrible like union of nightmarish body and flesh. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, that's fun.
Like Cheech and Chong are in it, or Chong at least.
Well, right? Chong is in it, yeah. Not for very long.
I think at one point, you have to realize, screen. At one point in Dan's life, everything fell out and someone had to put it all back together again. And maybe Mr. whoever Potato. Did that didn't exactly just follow the manual.
So when you shake Dan, he rattles a little bit.
I was a big sucker for the found footage. Like I know it seems corny now, but like the Blair Witch and the home camera was...
Paranormal Activity.
Paranormal Activity is so good. Maybe I'm going to watch that tonight. That's a
Which
spooky
one was
one.
It called?
Paranormal Activity.
The first
that one's
yeah.
all
activity,
like jump
yeah.
scares, but that the yeah. first one's so good. And the later
one
ones
fantastic.
Are like so fun to see in theaters. Jump Scare City, but...
I don't even think Blair Witch is corny. I remember I was working at the theater when that came out, and like it was such a early, it was like, what, 99? It was such an early internet thing that so much, like, you know, we probably all knew the internet and stuff like that, but like the average movie going audience, a lot of time, I heard so many people tell their friends, like, yeah, this really fucking happened. Like they found this footage and now they're putting it in the theaters. Like they went, imagine how, like that movie's kind of creepy anyway, but imagine you think Blair Witch is a shoot and you go there and you see that. Yeah.
Totally.
That'd be fucking terrifying.
Yeah. And that's the thing.
Real, it would be the only news story.
Totally. That is the thing. And so that's the thing. Like, even having a bunch of very online people, friends at that time who knew, like, what was up, enough of them were still fooled that, like, I had to ask a question to someone. They're like, no, a fucking course that's not real. Are you kidding me?
And you go to the official website, amazing. And, like, they're protecting the business all over the website. They're acting like, we found this videotape here. Yes. You know, it's like, there's nothing that acknowledges it's fake.
But even, like, knowing it's fake, it's still creepy as hell. In the same reason that you get excited at a wrestling match, which is, like, you're bought in a little bit. You know what I mean?
Suspend
it's
the
fun
disbelief.
To believe.
Yeah, if the presentation's good enough, you can turn your brain on and be like, okay, yeah, let's just take this for what it is.
And that's classic Carney filmmaking. Like, that is totally the thing you do. Like, if you're making something like that, or the McPherson tape, or anything else, like, if you're doing this low-budget thing, then just make people think it's real. That's the easiest thing in the world.
There's something about, like, Paranormal Activity does this all the time. There's something about the mundane shot where something, like, a door slams, or and then somebody comes screaming in the other way. Like, that stuff freaks me out.
Yeah. It's like Signs. Signs, the birthday party. Like,
that's what came into my brain now.
Yeah.
That's not, you know, obviously that movie's not perfect, but, like, that part in the theater.
No, it's bad.
That is one of the biggest, oh my God, everyone in this theater freaked the fuck out moments I've ever seen.
Because that was the only found footage, really creepy, genuine looking thing. And the other 99 minutes of that film are unwatchable garbage.
So much, thank you so much.
It's the dumbest. That and The Village.
Signs is better than The Village, but still,
Signs is better than The Village.
I like The Village. The horror movie, whatever. I think it's a sweet little romance.
I saw a trailer for The Village. My girlfriend at the time and I were like, I lived in Jersey. She lived in Maryland. This was like when I was in college, and we were like, oh, I'm gonna come visit the weekend The Village comes out. We should go see The Village, because why not? That seems like a fun movie to go see together. But at some point, I had seen the trailer, and I was like, oh, I bet it's just... And then the spoiler for the thing. I bet that's the situation. She was so mad at me for getting it right. The rest of that trip was, like, bad. That was a bad relationship
the last time
I was in. So.
I don't mean to laugh.
No, I get it.
The Shyamalan stuff, like, I didn't love the I See Dead People one. What is that one called?
Sixth Sense.
Like the Sixth Sense.
Universally beloved one.
I didn't love it. I thought it was good. Like, I didn't see the whole thing coming. Like, it wasn't spoiled.
But then,
I like Signs. Signs creep me out to where I was living in Queens at the time. That's what I think when I had the baseball bat next to the window, because there's a lot of like aliens on fire escapes kind of stuff going on. Right. Like I kind of was like, oh man, this has creeped me out. Oh,
okay.
But the one that
in
was
the movie,
worst,
not in Queens.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, in Queens.
Not in Queens.
No,
yeah.
like,
well, maybe, you know, in Queens, but
they're mostly cool, you know.
They're all right. You just got to keep a glass of water by that bedside. It's but the what's wrong with the trees?
Oh my god, happening.
How did nobody bring that up? That is bad. The worst.
That one, because it's so bad. It's not even, it was like he it's had all so these movies funny. That had a twist, and then he made The Happening, and halfway through they were like, I think it's the plants. And then the movie ends, they're like, it was the plants. And that's all it is.
Yeah.
Also, isn't it like Emily Blunt and Marky Mark? It's like Marky is the two leads. It doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah,
like
movie
everything about it.
It's so even funny. Registers as a movie.
The thing that really just sinks that whole thing is not just that it is the dumbest script you've ever read in your life. It's that Mark Wahlberg somehow found the single worst decision to make with every character choice he made in that movie. He is astonishingly bad in a lead role in that movie. I don't know if I've ever seen a movie in theaters where the lead actor was fucking up that bad the whole way through a movie.
I couldn't believe that movie at some point. Kirby loves that movie.
Did you guys Tam and Lucy taught me about this. Did you guys know that I don't know, maybe it was when Unbreakable was coming out that FX ran a quote unquote like documentary about M. Night that they tried to pull off like it was a real documentary about him and like how his teachers were like, yeah, we didn't know if he was like a super genius or a ghost or something. And like they tried to make it like M. Night was not the one behind this entire spoof, but it was like, it's incredible. I forget what it's called.
That reminds me of one of the dumbest things I've ever seen in games that I can't believe people never talk about. It's that in Twisted Metal, head on extra Twisted Edition, the version on PS2, there was a side thing.
I don't know why no one's
thing.
Talking about this. Well,
PS2 re-release of a PSP Twisted Metal game. There is a side thing where you're playing a Sweet Tooth, like running around, like not in a car, collecting these clues and stuff, like these videotapes of David Jaffe and like the development team and newspaper clippings and shit of them talking about how the development of this one Twisted Metal game that never came out was really kind of troubled and everything. And they got, you know, like 60% through the Twisted Metal game. They had like fake concept art and all this stuff. And then they acted like the development team died, like most, like 80% of the development team died in a plane crash. And like they present it as it's real. Like David Jaffe, the game developer, is like, yeah, it was like that. They're actually, we lost, you know, most of the team. Here's the newspaper. And so like you are as Sweet Tooth unlocking like newspaper articles about this dev team dying. I remember playing it, just thinking like, why did they put this in the game? This is fucked up.
Like, do you mean to tell me the creator of Drawn to Death would do something like this?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's got to be on YouTube. It's such a weird decision.
I don't think I want to watch this.
That's awesome.
It, bizarre.
In case you're wondering, it's the M. Night thing was called The Buried Secret of M. Night Shyamalan. And it's basic.
And it's fake.
It's fake. It's not directed by him or written by him.
But it absolutely
but of course, the log line is, a filmmaker and his crew making a documentary about award-winning director M. Night begin to suspect that their subject is hiding a dark and sinister secret.
He's just so meta.
Oh, it's awesome.
I think I've said this before, really, but awesome. I was with someone once where we were flipping through the channels and it's not a mockumentary, it's one of these like fake found footage movies of an alien being dissected. What is it called?
Like an alien autopsy?
It was Alien Autopsy, I think. It was just presented as if it were. And they just completely bought into it to the degree that there was me and one other person in the room, and we were both kind of laughing at it. And she was like, this is big deal. this is like pre-smartphone era, right? It's like, again, like in real life, if this happened right this second, all of our phones would be like blowing up.
Right.
Because someone would be dissecting an alien live on TV. But it was one of those like deeply cringy secondhand embarrassment moments. Like, I can't even laugh at you for it because it makes me feel bad that you bought this.
I mean, that's what you hear War of the Worlds, right? The radio play. You think there were people sitting next to other people being like, come on, dude, come on, I'm like dying here.
There is a modern
version of that. And I would actually say, since we're on this subject, if any of you are looking for a good found footage horror movie that also created a real life fervor in when it first aired, it is a UK I think BBC production called Ghost Watch. And it was aired in the early 90s, and it was presented on live television in October in the UK as a real thing about a, like a documentary film crew going in and investigating this haunting at this house. And I think they used a real BBC news presenter
That's cool.
to host the show to make it seem like it was real. And it apparently freaked so many fucking people out that like they were getting nonstop calls to the BBC like, what the fuck is going on here? Because it's actually so a good. Really good, effective found footage horror movie, but they presented it like it was real, and it freaked out basically an entire country.
That's amazing. Is that fun or really irresponsible?
I think both.
Yeah.
Okay. It's irresponsible.
Like many fun.
Fun
things. It is really irresponsible.
Yeah. Like, would you want that to happen today, or would you be mad if that
happened? It's happening today all the time. It's just called Facebook. It's just
called cable news.
There we go.
News, like,
yeah, but like, I don't know how you command the attention that you could command like you could in the 90s.
Or like back right, when there like were like three channels, or like War of the Worlds, where it's just like the radio, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
The radio like said the aliens are here.
Yeah. I just don't think you could command the attention of a planet as easily now.
I don't know. You just got to put up a stream. You got to put up a. Because I think the way it would happen now is if I was developing one of these, I would like as a marketer to promote something.
Sure.
I would make it so that it's not coming through a single stream. I would have multiple fake perspectives shot. And so it's like, I'll put one of them on Twitch, and I'll put one of them on TikTok streaming, I'll put one of them on real, you know, everywhere. And, like, it has to be everywhere.
And you'd have to get multiple reputable people to endorse
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
I also think you need to do a real long con. Like, you need to be, like, an established as something else. Like, oh, I'm, like, a food TikToker for 2 years, and then suddenly weird shit happens in, like, the back of one of my videos, and then doesn't happen for, like, 3 months. Then some, like, weird shit starts happening a little bit later.
Do you know the guy that does the sitting and smiling for 4 hours guy?
What?
No, oh, this my sounds God. Like a nightmare.
Look up this. This is exactly what you're describing.
Oh, I do remember this.
Are you the Joker?
I wonder if he still does this.
Oh,
I know this guy.
Look on YouTube for sitting and smiling for 4 hours. This guy, I don't know if he's still doing it, but for some point, like every single day for years, this guy would put up a video of him sitting down, just like cross-legged and smiling, eyes open at the camera. Like no one really knew if it was like meditating or what the deal is. But there's like hundreds of videos of him doing this for 4 hours. But in one random one, like in 2017 or something, someone breaks into his fucking house while it's happening, and he stays there and keeps smiling. And like you can kind of see the person open the door behind him and be like, oh shit, and like leave at one point. And then there's another one where he kind of starts like crying. But it's just that's why it's so weird, is because in all of there's so much hours and hours and hours of footage of him just doing the same thing that these two kind of weird things happen, and everyone's like, oh fuck, crazy. You know, like
that's spooky. I don't like it.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Oh, that's like the scariest thing in the world.
I'm gonna turn the lights on in my apartment.
Yeah, good idea.
I also think Austin, I want to hear what you're gonna say. I think because I really like thinking about our soon to be con that we all pulled collectively. No, like you would basically have to get like one of the most popular or like three of the most popular like Twitch streamers and have them do like an IRL stream, right?
Right.
Where you'd get like 150,000 people watching
smart.
It.
Smart, yeah.
And so then you need some small ones too, because
if it's all the big ones, then it's just like clearly. Totally.
And like random Twitter accounts posting videos of it. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. That's how you could do it. It would have to be, that's incredibly complicated.
And you'd have to get all these people to not talk about it.
Yeah, it would be almost impossible.
There's one aspect of this we are not considering, which I think is the sort of thing that actually makes this impossible now.
What's that?
Is that for the last decade, we have basically been living through a tsunami of scams and various other things that are scam-like. And everyone is so lightning, like just laser-tuned to assume everything that is a little bit weird or presented as a little bit askew is a scam instantly now. And in fact, when they are presented with that stuff, they just get really mad at it because they're like, fuck you, I don't want to be scammed. I don't think this can play now. I don't think you can do that kind of carny shit anymore.
Yeah, you might be right.
The thing that scares me more than anything else, this is probably not true, there's probably other stuff that scares me more. There's this Lifetime show called Frogging, Hider in My House. Frogging spelled with a PH. which is not a good way to spell it. What is frogging?
I'm kind of scared just by the title.
Yeah, what's frogging? Yeah,
what is frogging? Frogging is the crime of people secretly living inside someone else's home.
Oh,
this stranger than fiction true crime thriller explores the phenomenon of frogging, from the man in the attic to the creeper in the crawl space. Each episode features two first-hand accounts of survivors sharing the most skin-crawling, twisted, and truly terrifying stories imaginable.
Why are they calling it
frogging?
Why
is that a hamper behind you moving around?
Why is it called
to live in the hamper?
But if you see, like, there was like footage of this happening where it's like someone has like.
There's footage of it.
Yeah, like everyone's got
ring cams now.
Exactly, and this is actually from a few. This is like from 5 or 6 years ago. Someone just like had an apartment that had like a little storage space above the closets, like recessed, and just like a guy was just sneaking in and living up there.
There's like a woman living in like some man's cabinets in like Japan, I think. It's bad.
It's a nightmare to me.
One time we were, this was probably like 10 years ago in Minnesota. Me and Ben Hansen and Tim Turry, a bunch of Game Informer guys. There was like 8 of us. We're all just drunk at Ben Hansen's house. For some reason, we decided at like 3 or 4 in the morning to run out to this park across the street from his house. And it had like a playground and stuff. We were just being idiots. We were running around drunk and just like there's a playground going down slides and shit and monkey bars. And one of us just like, I think it was his friend Ronnie, who was on Minmax, ran into a pipe, and he just came back out the same way, screaming, fuck, 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 fuck! And, like, there was a guy in there, just, like, sitting there in the pipe, and he woke up, he's like, oh, what are you doing?
Like, oh, like a drainage pipe. Oh, like,
like a Discovery Zone pipe.
Oh. Yeah. It's like one of the tubes you crawl in.
Oh,
there's just a dude that was like, hey, out there.
You know?
You weren't trying to hurt nobody. You just trying to catch a couple of winks.
That's brutal.
Okay, if we're just trading you all know about this because I think we've talked about this together, but the thing that still does creep me out to this day that I don't, maybe one of you introduced me to it, I don't know, the buzzer. I think the buzzer, that Russian radio station.
Oh, I don't know what this is at all.
That has the beacon going off and no one knows where it's coming from or why it's doing it.
Don't worry about the radio signal.
It's like a number station. It's like a.
Yeah.
Lost.
It's like leftover. What's that?
It's the same idea as a number station, but not exactly.
Yeah, but like the phenomenon is that they don't know where it's exactly coming from, and apparently it changed location in the last 5
what
years.
What is it?
So it's just a radio broadcast. It's a radio signal, and you could listen to it anytime you want. Someone has it on the internet. And it's just like a very weird sounding buzzer that goes off every second or so. And
but
no one knows.
Aliens.
It's real.
Aliens.
Yeah, of course.
It's contact. It's prime numbers.
That's right.
They said it started in the 70s or something. It's like a USSR leftover.
Yeah, late
70s, sort of
possibly 76. And it hasn't gone off since then?
No. And like every now and then, like people claim to hear, like, so there definitely is.
What's it
Russian
called,
being spoken,
it's
being spoken like in the background at some time, point. So like, but they can't. There's no definitive bulletproof, explanation of like
distant
what it is.
Conversations and other background noises have frequently been heard behind the buzzer, suggesting that the buzzing tones are not generated internally but are transmitted from a device placed behind a live and constantly open microphone. That's scarier to me. The fact that it's not just a machine doing it, but
Yeah. Well, it's not just like a skeleton like hitting a button every second, you know, like
but
there's something very human about it, but also
yeah, we've all left the Twitch stream going
it is spooky. It is super super spooky.
There was a abandoned dental office or something.
Gotta
go. Again this is Hansen. This is
inconvenient.
Who was sleeping in the teeth?
No, it was right next to Hanson's place, the same house with the park. And again, like idiots, a bunch of us.
Wow, what a great area.
Well, and the address was 666 on the dental place.
Oh, perfect.
And so,
come on.
And it had been, I'm not fucking kidding. You can ask, go into MinMax's chat and ask about
it. It's just
this.
So stupid.
So it had been boarded up, like, you know, like boards with nails and everything for like,
and
as long as Hanson lived there.
Don't go inside.
Yeah. Well, and of course, so we got drunk at like 3 a.m, a bunch of us idiots got flashlights, and we brought hammers and stuff and drills, and like we took the boards off of the back door.
That's okay.
We also could hear hammers, but drills is the step too far.
Yeah, we had to go back and get a drill at one point because there was stuff you had to take out. So.
Sure, yeah. Just
and we heard water
yourself a little more here.
And we're
that's
like, what the
hardcore breaking and entering at that point.
It was abandoned.
I don't know. Statute of limitations on dental crimes.
No, that's not the phrase.
Dental crimes.
Not the right phrase.
So we go in there, and apparently the fuck, like, we go in through the basement, through the back, and it was, you know, we got lights going on, and we noticed the
scariest
floor,
place.
Yeah, yeah. The floor is completely like warped, like it's like wavy, and we're like, what the fuck? And then we notice it's soaking wet.
Yeah,
and we look up with flashlights, and there's water cascading down from the ceiling everywhere, and we're like, what the fuck? And so we go upstairs.
Last of Us level.
There's like a bathroom or a sink or a kitchen or whatever upstairs, and the water was running. It had to have been running for God knows, like a decade or more or something.
Oh my
God. So much that the floor had been warped, but also all the chairs, all the dental tools, and file cabinets filled with all of the dental records were still there. So we're in the middle of the night with flashlights going through dental records from like the 90s in the 666 dental office.
This is Silent Hill. You're describing Silent Hill.
It was fucking scary. It was really, yeah, it was fun.
So was the water like, were you walking through water?
It was like, yeah, it wasn't like, you know, it was clearly like seeping out into like probably the grass.
Did you turn it off?
Yeah, I think we did. And then we went in. We were just like opening drawers and stuff. And we're like, did they have to leave in a hurry? Like, why are these, is like medical records are here?
That's the thing, is that like if a place like that goes out of business, ideally what they're supposed to do is take care of those records. But, you know, if you got to get out fast enough.
Yeah. What I'm saying is, they like turn the water on. That stuff will go. Don't worry about it.
We did a bonfire and we were going through all the stuff and then we were just throwing the stuff in the fire when we were done. But yeah.
But that could have been some other punk teenagers going in there at some point and possibly turning that water on.
And then like nailing the door back up.
I'm just saying maybe the dentist didn't do it on the way out.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, what dentist has to leave in that kind of a rush?
A really bad dentist.
I need to find out what happened to that dentist. To like,
I don't know how they found me, but they did.
In my brain.
I don't know how they found me, but we got to get out of here.
You
right
see
now.
That video of that molar getting crushed? I got to get out of here.
Stop washing your hands. We got to go.
Well, there's like a mattress in there, and we were like, why is there a mattress in this little dental office?
Someone's probably squatting.
People sleep.
No, that's not squatting. Somebody was probably frogging in there.
Yeah,
they're
frogging.
I guess frog if nobody else. Is there. Although I do like the idea of them frogging while it's an active dentist's office.
Yes. I'm with you, Alex. Why is it called that?
Why is it called frogging?
Because now I said it out loud and now people are going to Google it and Lifetime original TV is going to own the name for it. It wasn't called
they're
that
squatting
originally.
And frogs squat. Is it from that?
So probably. Why is it spelled with a PH?
Frog. Maybe it's an acronym.
Yeah, that's weird too.
It feels like branding to me.
People houses.
People houses. Open great.
Yeah, great.
You guys got it. You got down to it.
We figured it out.
Great.
Well, thanks everybody. I think we're gonna wrap up there. I'm a little creeped out.
Yeah, me too. This is unfair.
My apartment, like the way we're recording, I'm in my little office, and then there's just a door to the rest of my apartment. It got dark as we were recording.
I see
my cat walking around behind me.
You've got the like most found footage shot going. You are totally justified left.
Yes.
If people can't see this, and you have two doorways behind you just open.
So
just,
dark like, too.
I'm acting like a hooded figure to just walk across the hallway.
I would be so scared.
That's what I want.
Vinny, why is the TV behind you turning on?
That's just the bad electricity in the basement. Okay. that just happened.
So
the Transformers are moving.
It really is like the perfect darkness in your shot, Abby, for like
That's why I had to turn the light on.
Ghost to come
it's
through
amazing.
There.
We didn't even get to tell our real ghost stories.
Ooh. Oh, Vinny.
I'm going to change my lighting.
Is that a model light? Spooky. What are you doing?
He's going to show us a makeup tutorial.
You look like you're just turning on an overhead projector.
It's my ring light for when I do my beauty shots. All right, nobody can see this stuff. I look gorgeous, by the way.
Yes, you do.
Well, that goes without saying.
Can we quickly just go and share like something you're watching now that's creepy to give suggestions for people if they want.
Sure,
to
Sure, yeah. What do you got, Bacalar? What's up with you?
I'm currently watching Severance.
Oh yeah, yeah! I just finished it. I wrapped that up. I think that wraps up really well.
Okay, good.
It wraps up better than like the final episode. You know, there's a sweet spot when you're doing a show that's going to have a second season where it's like, is it going to show enough to keep me interested? Is it going to show too much where it like resolves?
Because I'm not done.
I'm not going to say.
We're not going to say.
What I'm going to say is they nail it.
Yeah.
Okay, good. It's very hard to do that, so I respect anything that can do that. I also like, I was talking about this earlier on a podcast with Dan, where I was like, how come no one, I feel like people are definitely talking about it, but no one is, it hasn't gotten to me where someone has made the, hey, this is Control. This is very much the Control video game, adapted,
very as similar much of that aesthetics.
Many ways, it's kind of shocking
stuff.
But I think that is like the perfect amount of creepy. Like, there's a lot of nice, creepy, fun stuff. I would call that fun, Dan. Like, you get away calling that fun than fucking Uncut Gems, you lunatic. Anyway, that's my suggestion for people to watch if they have.
Anybody else have a creeper?
I recently watched the first season of The Terror, which I think is criminally underrated. It's an AMC show. About the a real expedition, but with like some supernatural like variations on it. In the 1800s, the British Empire decided that they believed there was a thing called the Northwest Passage, which would connect the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific Ocean by going north of Canada. Right, you'd pass through all the ice up there in the sea, and make it across. It did not go that way. And so they sent two ships on this one, the Terror, which is a bad name to send a ship into hell.
Yeah.
And then the Erebus. Erebus is like the Greek god of chaos or darkness or something. So they really like wrote their own checks here. And it's about the ships getting stuck there, about the terrible decisions that everyone on board made in terms of like trying to get unstuck and trying to get to civilization, ignoring all of like the local indigenous people or like trying to like kill them, who were very much like, don't do this. What do you get out? You got to get out. Come with us. We're going to help you. And also, of course, there's like a big supernatural angle. There's some shamans. There's a monster of a sort. There's a creature that is monstrous. It's Jared Harris is the main dude who you might know from Chernobyl as I think the main dude in Chernobyl, and then also I know and love as a member of the big ensemble cast that is The Expanse. I genuinely don't understand why people don't talk about The Terror. I've only seen the first season. The second season is a completely different it's like an anthology show.
I think the second season being kind of bad is why The Terror kind of got buried, because that first season is, by all accounts, incredible.
It's so good. It's like so good. If you're interested at all in this style of like 1800, I mean, it's a very specific thing, 1800 ship stuff, but like 1800s lost expeditions to the North Pole type shit, plus really interesting supernatural stuff, and then fundamentally just like a bunch of people. It has the same feeling of a spaceship horror movie where the crew starts very optimistic and then things start going bad. And then next thing you know, they're all turning on each other and turning to cannibalism and et cetera. It's like, oh yeah, all those sci-fi horror movies are just based on real shit that happened on boats. And it reminds you of that.
Yeah.
They're bad boats.
When they remind you that we things might be bad now, but like we kind of live in a little bit better times when you can like call out for somebody and you're not completely stranded.
I realized it was Ridley Scott.
What was?
I think he produced it.
From Ridley Scott, I'm watching the trailer.
Yeah. There's an episode towards the middle where they're already just stuck in place for months, years up there, running through all their supplies, where they've just gone so like, they have so much cabin fever that they decide to put on a play, which is a real thing that these people fucking did. They like took extra supplies. They dug out their trunks filled with costumes and stuff. And then went out on the ice and put on like Shakespearean plays. And it's like, yeah, you're done. You're like, that monster's going to show up and eat you. And it's extremely enjoyable when things break bad. Wow. So anyway, The Terror.
They started reviewing video games out there.
Yeah, that's right. Really ran out of things to do.
I need this. All right. Anybody else got a suggestion?
I just rewatched The Silence of the Lambs. It's really good.
Still a great movie.
The movie. Did they do a series?
A Hannibal series.
Well, there's Hannibal, but also didn't they have like Red Dragon? I mean, the book is a series. I'm curious to read the book. Alex, have you read it or anyone else?
I haven't read the book. I think they did a Clarice TV show, but it was kind of short-lived.
Like Young Clarice or something. It was like the Nurse Ratched Clarice before The Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah, I don't think it was very good. Hannibal is a really interesting show for as long as it lasts. I would say, other than, you know, Ghost Watch, which I recommended earlier, I just started the third season of this older anthology series called Channel Zero. And by older, I mean it was like early teens. You know,
yeah,
it was like 10 years
thing,
ago.
Right?
Yeah. So it's like each of the seasons are kind of based on like online horror stories, but like given pretty good, lavish production. The first season has great creature design. The story is not as good, but it's good enough. The second season is fantastic. It's called No End House, and it is like a banger from start to finish. And I just started the third season, which is called Butcher's Block. I haven't gotten far enough into it yet, but I've heard good things. And there's one more season after that, and then they canceled it. But those four seasons, by all accounts, are some of the best like anthology horror of
where
the last
was it,
decade.
Where did it originally air?
Sci-fi, I believe. Ooh. It was
I only
a sci-fi
watched
original.
One season. I watched the one with the door in the basement. Have you seen that? Was that one you've seen, or is that one you've not seen? I have no idea.
That's the dream door. That's the last season, which I haven't seen.
Okay. That premise is very creepy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No End House,
house
is
and
amazing.
There's a door in the basement you can't open.
What's the series called again?
I love that.
Channel Zero.
Channel Zero.
I like
that. So that's Channel Zero. That's The Terror?
The Terror.
The Terror, Severance, and Ghost Watch?
Yes.
And then top it off with
The Silence of the Lambs.
And The Silence of the Lambs.
And then top it off with Dark.
Oh, Dark's great.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I saw some of Dark. I don't think I made it through the whole thing. Is that the one with the cave?
The German.
I almost said too much because there's twists basically immediately in that show.
Oh, it keeps going. So.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And Dark. All right.
Pour one out for that editor, whoever had to edit that fucking series.
Thank you, Abby.
Thank you, Vinny.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Vincent.
Thank you, Dan.
Anytime.
Thank you, Austin.
Thank you, Vinny.
Thank you, Alex.
No. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Have a happy Halloween. Thanks all for joining us. This was fun. I think this worked with six people.
Somehow did it.
I got to tell you, it's because we've all been podcasting for years and years, often together.
We podcasted with you earlier this week.
Yeah, we just did this.
Backlar was like 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
People want to hear Alex and I talk about Collateral. You should join Waypoint Plus.
I just watched that for the first time not too long ago. That's fun. Yeah.
Wait, Collateral is the one with the mug, right? That's the one where...
No, you're thinking of Collateral Damage in Arnold and his 9/11
movie.
You love that so much, Vinny. You get so excited every time that movie comes up because you love that fucking mug.
Add to the list with Butterfly Effect. What are other Vinny Core movies?
Oh, man, yeah.
Collateral Damage just has that scene. And so if you're even close to it, is it Arnold Schwarzenegger holding his mug as he's Googling terrorism that he's going to go fight?
I'm going to start a Letterboxd account just for Vinny Core movies.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll be back next month. We've never been a better podcast. Happy Halloween. See you.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.